Good evening. We are halfway through our first ever Lisbon Treaty-based Council meeting. We have two questions on our agenda: financial crisis, economic recovery, and climate. On the economic recovery, we have discussions on exit strategies that will start 2011. And we have now also a conclusion on establishment of financial supervision, both when it comes to macro and micro level, which is, of course, an important part on how we learn from the financial crisis and put in place better regulations to be able to meet these kind of problems in the future. Tonight's discussion has also been linked on the agenda for 2020, how to push through the financial crisis and how to meet the need for competitiveness, inclusive labor management, and also on education, infrastructure, investments in our economies when it comes to 2020. This is a start. This will be presented by Commission and also followed up by the Spanish presidency once we come into 2010. On climate change, the meeting is gathered in Copenhagen. We will have an attendance of probably more than 110 heads of state and government at the end of next week. We are still committed to our mandate that we took in European Union in October. The offer still stands. We are presenting a move to 30% if other developed parts of the world will make the same kind of efforts. And we urge the developed part of the world to make these kind of commitments so that we could get the needed agreement in place in Copenhagen. The conditionality is very important for European countries because we want to see a move also from others. We can't solve the climate problem ourselves. European Union countries only stands for 13% of global emissions. We need to have a global answer to this global problem. We have discussed financing of adaptation and mitigation efforts that is needed. We have discussed fast start resources. We said in our mandate we need 5 to 7 billion euros annually before 2013. And we are still working on putting together what the European countries on a voluntary base are able to put on the table. We will work through the night to see that we get all of the resources in place and come back to this tomorrow. We, of course, are also in this matter asking others to bring forward their part to make the sum come to these mentioned figures of 5 to 7 billion. Once again, also want to say that it's very important to get the high figures of the midterm resources when we come to 2020 also in place. This was mentioned based on calculations from the Commission to be on 100 billion euros per year annually when we come to 2020. This is what we think is needed in mitigation and adaptation investments to make the 2-degree target possible to get in place. So these are very important figures. We have said we are able to take our fair share of this as a European Union, but once again, there's a conditionality. We need to have a global responsibility also coming from other parts of the developed part of the world. So that is basically what we have discussed tonight. Our commitment to show leadership on climate is still very clear. We have the binding targets. We have the agreements that actually no one else has still in the world. We will take our fair share of the need when it comes to financing, and we urge others to make final offers, final action to be able to get the agreement when we come to Copenhagen at the end of next week.
Manuel? Thank you very much. I think Prime Minister Reinfeldt has presented a very good summary. Let me just say that Prime Minister Reinfeldt has the privilege of being the last president of the European Union Council under the a rotating system, but at the same time, he has been today the first president of the European Council already after the Lisbon Treaty was approved. And it was a very useful and very interesting constructive meeting. I am looking for ambitious conclusions tomorrow. As Prime Minister Reinfeldt said, there were two main issues. On the economic issue, there was a very open discussion already in this format with 27 heads of state and government plus the president of the Commission on the main challenges for our economy. As you know, the European Commission has launched recently a consultation paper on the future European strategy, the European Union 2020 strategy, to feed this debate. And today we had the first exchanges. And in fact, Herman Van Rompuy discussed this now during dinner, that he will call European Council informal meeting beginning on February to discuss the economic strategy. And we have basically agreed on important points, the need to have a global strategy, the need to link our exit strategy now from the crisis with the need also to create new sources of growth, new sources of competitiveness for the European economy. It was, in fact, an excellent discussion about the priorities for the midterm evolution of the European economy. Then, during the working dinner, there was a very in-depth discussion for Copenhagen, and I'm very happy with the conclusions. Conclusions are in line with the leadership position that the European Union has been taking on this issue. We were the first to understand that it is indeed much better to protect the planet than to pay afterwards for repairing it. Indeed, it's less expensive to protect the planet now than to repair it later. And that's why I think it is a very good progress, the one we have seen this evening, on fast start financing. This is indeed important. This is decisive. Just yesterday, I spoke by telephone with Prime Minister Zelesh Sanawi from Ethiopia, who is coordinating the African position. And in fact, we have discussed this also during dinner, how important it is for the developing world to have some concrete help from the developed world in terms of adaptation. And it is indeed crucial, because most people, when you speak about Copenhagen, most people speak about the United States, China, and Europe. Some people tend to forget the poorest, the most vulnerable African countries, small island states. And without our support to those of our partners, there will not be an agreement in Copenhagen. So that's why if tomorrow the European Union, as of government, come with an important commitment in terms of fast start financing, I think that can be a great contribution for the success of Copenhagen. Of course, as Prime Minister Reinfeldt, President of the Council, just now explained, this offer is conditional on making real efforts on mitigation and on adaptation. But European Union, I'm happy to say, is providing leadership to these talks. We were the first to adopt binding targets for ourselves, and we are ready to go to the upper proposal, namely 30%, if others make comparable efforts. This was confirmed, reconfirmed today. So we want Copenhagen to be a success. We are making everything we can to make a success of Copenhagen. And I think that if we act on all these fronts, on concrete targets for reduction of greenhouse gases, but also on finding the right finance, both fast-track financing, but also medium-term financing, I think we are giving the decisive contribution for the success at Copenhagen. That's what I really expect that we can see tomorrow in the conclusions of the European Council and next week in Copenhagen.
Thank you very much. And that opens for questions. Okay, we start with Reuters and then Bloomberg's. First, Reuters down here, lady.
Justyna Pavlak, Reuters. I understand there's no agreement yet reached on the short-term financing that the EU will put up. Can you tell us a bit about sort of what are the obstacles and what's the discussion about and why there is no agreement just of yet?
We made this voluntarily at our October discussion. And of course, what we are using now is the pressure of Europeans wanting to be part of the leadership that we need to get a success in Copenhagen. So basically, we think we have a better figure tomorrow than we have tonight. That's the answer. That's why we keep on talking to our member states and hope to present this figure tomorrow.
Jim.
Jim Neuger from Bloomberg. What steps did the Greek Prime Minister lay out to resolve his country's budget crisis? And what measures, if any, did the other EU leaders promise in support?
Georgios Papandreou was very clear on that there are problems when it comes to the Greek economy and that there are structural problems that they were facing already in advance of the financial crisis. He was also very clear on that this is now on the top of the agenda of the new Greek government to meet with different measures. And he showed clear commitment on his side to do this and to follow through in this strategy. And that was basically what we talked about. And basically, we were talking about the Agenda 2020. We should also acknowledge that the financial crisis has been a burden on many of the member countries. So we've had discussions like this before. But so that was what we talked about concerning Greece.
It is clear that Greece faces very substantial economic and fiscal challenges. The Greek government has transmitted to the Commission and the Eurogroup its determination to restoring sound public finances. The draft budget adopted on the 20th of November is one important step in the right direction, but more measures are required. And indeed, today, Prime Minister Papandreou presented to us a very frank and open description of the situation in Greece, and his determination, his personal determination, to face this challenge with very important measures, not only on budgetary terms, but also in terms of structural reforms. Let me tell you that the Commission will continue to monitor the situation in Greece very closely, also in close contact with the President of the Eurogroup, and stands ready to assist the Greek government in setting out a comprehensive consolidation and reform program in the framework of the treaty provisions for euro area member states. And let me tell you that after this evening discussion with Prime Minister Papandreou, I am fully confident that Greece will be successful in that endeavor.
Okay, next question to Swedish Radio.
Thank you. Herman Melzer, Swedish Radio, which means I will put my question in Swedish. Statsminister Fredrik Reinfeldt, varför misslyckades ni ikväll och varför tror du att ni ska komma överens imorgon och varför tror du att de som inte vill betala ikväll vill betala imorgon?
Have people not willing to pay this evening? Why would they be willing to pay tomorrow?
But the question was very much like the one from Bloomberg. So. Återigen, jag tror att vi imorgon kan vakna
again,
med bättre siffror
we'll
när det gäller
we'll
pengarna som är tänkta att bidra till anpassningsåtgärder för 2013 än vad som var möjligt att få fram här ikväll. Den stämning som fanns under vår middag var en mycket tydlig samling kring behovet av europeiskt ledarskap för att fortsätta agera för att få ett bra avtal i Köpenhamn. Därför så drog jag slutsatsen att det kommer att vara en fördel för personer som är möjligt att nå att vi fortsätter att föra de förhandlingarna genom natten och att presentera detta imorgon.
Question for Netherlands Radio. I'll do it in English. As I understand, Mr. Van Rompuy tonight is making a statement on his future role somewhere in front of a camera. I suppose you know what he's going to say, so what is your comment on what he's saying? And isn't it a bit funny that he's not doing it here right behind the table? I would have expected him here, although he didn't preside over the meeting tonight, but I would have expected him here. Why is he not present?
Well, I will tell Herman that you are missing him, and I think that he will like that. It was already clear that the ongoing presidency should be a full-time presidency in accordance with the older regulations. even if the Lisbon Treaty was to come into force. So we already knew, 1st of July, that the Swedish presidency would follow through, and that's why I'm heading this meeting, even if it's based on Lisbon Treaty. But Herman Van Rompuy was present during our dinner, and he presented the ideas for the council work that he will lead coming to the spring summits. So we had a discussion on that, and soon you will see a lot of Herman.
Fukushima from Mainichi News, Japanese daily newspaper. About the climate change, are there any head of states who intend to raise the target from 20% to 30% unconditionally, or all heads of states are preferred to put these conditionalities? Thank you very much.
I want to be clear that we think that Europe is very strong when we have a European Union-based mandate that is covering all 27 member states. This was defined already at the October summit, and this was redefined tonight. The commitment still stands. We offer this with conditionality. You will always find, I think, between 27 sovereign nation states that there are differences, but I think the strength, which is also what could push pressure on other developed parts of the world, is when European Union stands together. And this was also possible tonight. And we, of course, follow very closely what others are doing in the week we now have facing us before the leaders' meeting at the end of next week.
Let me just add a point that I think probably clarifies the issue. The decision on 20% and indeed on 30%, this is our offer that's in the table, if further make a comparable effort. This is decision for the average effort of the European Union. And that decision has to be taken, of course, by all the member states. But this is a minimum. If a country wants to go much further, can do it. Does not need the authorization of others. So if one single country wants to go, let's say, we go for 80%, it can do it. And but what one country cannot say is where all the others are going. So what was agreed was 20% unconditional. This is already binding legislation approved by the European Union. And it was already agreed and confirmed tonight that we are ready to go to 30%. And in fact, we are urging other partners to make similar efforts. And this was agreed by everybody. So only everybody can change this agreement, not one country. But that does not prevent one country that wants to show more ambition to take unilateral measures. And indeed, if you look at the composition of the efforts afterwards, some of our member states are doing much more than 20% or 30%. Some of them are doing already much more. And they can, if they want, even improve their offer. But the common position of the European Union, exactly as Prime Minister Reinfeldt said, was this one. It is by far the most ambitious of any group of countries in Copenhagen, and we'd like to have others joining us in this effort so that we can really have a solution for a global problem that requires, of course, a global solution, not only a solution coming from Europe or from any other part of the world, but from the world as a whole.
We have time for one last question. AFP down here, please, in the middle. Lady in red. No, thank you.
Lady in red. Okay. Oui. On s'attendait lors de ce sommet à des difficultés venant de petits pays de l'Est qui ont peut-être plus de difficultés avec la crise financière. Or, on constate ce soir que ce sont trois gros pays, la France, l'Allemagne, l'Italie, qui rechignent à poser un chiffre sur la table. Est-ce que vous pouvez nous expliquer exactement ce qui se passe et pourquoi ces réticences existent? Merci.
Well, once again, it's a voluntary base. That was the decision already in October. And, of course, this reflects the fact that we have member countries with IMF programs with huge deficits. But we felt that the commitment to the climate issue is very hard and very very sincere among member states, that it will be possible anyhow on a voluntary base to put together the resources needed to take our fair share. And already in advance of this meeting, over half of the member state had provided us with figures, and we are working through the night to get even more contributions. And that's why I say the figures will be better tomorrow morning than they are tonight. And that's why we are pressing for these negotiations through the night.
Thank you, Prime Minister. That will conclude this press conference. Thank you very much, and welcome back tomorrow, and have a good evening.